let's all stand for the doxology, please.
Good to have all of you in the Lord's house this morning. It's good to be back. I had a great trip and got to love on that granddaughter a whole bunch. Never as much as I'd like to have loved on her, but it was great to see her and spend some time with her and some friends that I've known for at least 14 years. And had a good, safe trip. And from what I understand, a lot of storms I left behind, but I was in rain in Arkansas coming back. But other than that, it was a nice trip. When they got to coming down 40, said exit ramp to 77 towards Charlotte's Block, follow the detour signs. And wherever the detour signs were, they weren't on that road. So I came back through the country to get where I ended up. But I got home. Those of you that are here, we're glad that you're here. Those that are listening, maybe in the parking lot, those that might be on the website later, we're glad that you're in the Lord's house today. May we pray. Father, it's good to be in your house, to thank you for all the blessings we have. I do thank you for safe travel. I thank you for time to worship and spend time with Hannah and with friends. And Lord, I thank you that there's something about the family of God that no matter where we are, we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now, Father, today I welcome the Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. May we have ears to hear. Father, may you fit your words to what we specifically need. And then, Father, I pray that you bring glory to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed. It is indeed good to have you back, and glad God brought you back safely.
And I appreciate Brother Jim preaching for me last week.
Yeah, he did a wonderful job. Brother Jim did a wonderful job. Sure did. All right, let's do our hymn sing this morning as we all stand together and sing, "When We All Get to Heaven." This is a happy song, so sing and be happy, will you please? "When We All Get to Heaven," stand up. Amen. All right, as I said before, it's so good to be in the Lord's house this morning. I have just a few announcements I want to share with you. And first, I want to remind you to come back this evening at 5:30 for adult discipleship training. And I also will have our youth, and all that will be tonight. Grant, we're going to have their youth meetings tonight, our discipleship training tonight. We're just going to be a busy, busy folks tonight from 5:30 on. So please be here and be in your place for that. Then I want to remind also you council members that next Sunday at 11 o'clock, right after worship, we'll have our council meeting here at the church. So all you council members, remember to be there and to be that. This coming Wednesday night, I'm going to share something with you. Maybe it's a warning, I don't know. But the Lord has laid on my heart to teach the book of Ruth. And I mentioned it to the people last week, Wednesday night. And I talked to the pastor this morning. And so starting next Wednesday night, I'm going to be with the Lord's help, always with the Lord's help. We'll be studying the book of Ruth. And I think it's a beautiful book. I was going to speak about it in his absence last Wednesday night, but there was just so much there. I just think it's just going to take more than one Wednesday night to do it. So you all come, I hope, and pray for me that God will richly bless us all as we study the book of Ruth. All right, as we continue on with our announcements, let's remember that we still have the Annie Armstrong. This is it. It's over. So if you hadn't donated already, you still got time. That's right. And we've already talked about discipleship training. That's set up. We've got that done. NC Baptist Homes and Food Drive. Thank you. Our final total was $800. Is that right? That's wonderful. Thank you all. Yeah, it does. Right. You can still do some today if you wanted to do that. And we've talked about the fact that our youth meetings will be tonight. West Annie High School teacher staff support. And we thank you for the members that are already doing that. We'll have more announcements on that as we go forward. But we will be taking part to help to support the teachers. Have I overlooked any announcements at all? The wings?
Right here, very first one.
Oh, I did? Hey, I'm sorry about that, Rosina. But the wings meeting will be next Wednesday night, May the 1st, okay? So everybody be here for that, okay?
Stay at 10 o'clock in the morning.
It is 10 o'clock, okay. 10 o'clock. I got to get used to those early mornings, okay? 10 o'clock in fellowship, okay. All right, wings member, 10 o'clock. All right. Thank you. Any other announcements? Okay, now for our prayer and prayer request. I've had a few already this morning. Let's continue to remember Gary and Tonda as they're traveling. They were out in the Midwest, and of course you know what's been out there, those storms, but God's going to give them grace and be safe through that. We talked about the Laura you mentioned this morning, that a young man had taken his life in Albemarle. We asked for prayers for that family. And then Laura, as she travels as well, she'll be traveling, going to go see that son again, right? And the family's coming for this one too.
My sister.
Yeah. So we'll be praying for you. And going to where? Disney World? Okay. Just tell Mickey hello. And we'll be, so that's wonderful. We'll be praying for you as you go there. We need to continue to remember Jay and Betsy Gibson and keep her in our remember. All right. Are there other prayer requests this morning?
May I expand on the young man from Albemarle High School?
Yes, go ahead.
His parents were not expecting, obviously, his death. And Edwards Funeral Home has they're taking care of the young man for the family. But if anybody feels so led to donate to this young man, it's the Watkins family. And you just call Edwards Funeral Home and ask, or just let them know that you want to donate toward his funeral expenses. So,
okay. The Watkins. Watkins family. Okay. All right, are the others? Going to do something a little. I remember you stay back. We're going to do something a little different this morning in our prayers and prayer requests. I'm going to ask your help with the prayers this morning. And Jesus taught us how the model prayer, Matthew 6 through 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. I'm going to sing this morning the Lord's Prayer, but I'm going to ask you to do something while I'm singing the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to ask you to pray. And I want to ask you to pray. I want you to look for your right and pray for that person on your right. I want you to look for your left and pray for that person on your left. And if we do this the right way, everybody in the church will receive a prayer. And you say, well, why are you saying that? Well, it's a fact that in every church this morning, on each pew, some of those pews, someone's hurting. And you don't know it. You don't know it. And so when you do that, you're praying for each other this morning. That's the way you should do it. Now remember this list that I've given you. Tony and Ruth. Let's continue to remember Ruth as she is at home recuperating. Glad to say that. Glad to hear that. She's home separating Gary and Tonda as they travel. And then the boy of the Watkins family that's lost his life. Lori and her travels. Let's remember that. And Jay and Betsy Gibson. As I'm singing this morning, as you're praying, remember these people too. And while you're doing that, you might want to think about our good old pastor here. He's back with us. And pray for him, Lord, in his service today. And also, look, you pray for me. That's okay. If you look up here and you pray for me, because if I've ever had a harder week fighting the devil, it's been this week. And you talk about burden and you talk about hurt and harmful, it's been this week. But you know what? We'll be all right. It's going to be fine. But, you know, you got to stay vigilant. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. So you remember me in your prayers as well. All right, I'm going to sing a cappella this morning, the Lord's Prayer. And as I do, I ask you to bow your heads, and I want you to pray for those people that we've just mentioned this morning, okay? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And all the people said, amen. Pastor Ed.
Thank you, sir. That's great.
Bless you.
Thank you, Leonard. Now, you keep your hands in your pockets or in your lap. But if I were to ask you, how many of you believe the Bible is literally, totally, absolutely, inherently true? Raise your hand. Most of you, I think, as adults, would raise your hand. We really believe the Bible is true. And like some preachers I've seen, I believe it's true from cover to cover, and I even believe the maps. You know, you may have heard some preachers say that. But are we serious? Do we really believe the Bible is true? Do we really honestly believe that the Bible is true? That if God said it, God meant it, or God wouldn't have said it. Are we fooling ourselves when we say, oh, I believe the Bible is true? This morning, I want us to look at really the three passages of Scripture, but the first two go together, and then the third one goes by itself. But let's really be serious. Do we really believe the Bible is true? Now, in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus says this, Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning at verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth you know him and have seen him. Now very plainly, bluntly, without a shadow of a doubt, Jesus says right there that he's the only way to heaven. That there is no doubt, no other way, no other pathway, no other alternate route, no other detour that'll get you to heaven. The only way to heaven is Jesus. Can we say that that's true? All right, now turn with me over to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And we'll start reading at verse 11. Of Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to the works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Very bluntly, very clearly, it says there's going to come a judgment. And if the person's name is not in the book of life, they're going to a lake of fire. Are we clear on that? That's what God said. That those, first he says, Jesus is the only way to heaven. The only way to get a name in the Lamb's book of life. It's not to be a preacher, not to be a member of a church. It's not to be baptized, though some of the, being baptized is an important thing, but that doesn't get us to heaven. It's a relationship with Jesus that gets us to heaven. And everybody that doesn't have that relationship with Jesus, it says, is lost. Now that's pretty clear. Do we really believe that? It's interesting, being old has some advantages, with some disappointments. I can think back to 60 years and how many times people would come to me and say, preacher, my kids are at the age of accountability. Pray for them to be saved. Now these days, many times parents bring a child to me and say, Pastor, at home, this child's been talking about accepting Jesus. Would you talk to them a little bit? But many, many years ago, preacher, pray for my kids. Preacher, pray for my husband, my wife, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my next door neighbor, my coworker. It very rarely happens anymore. If we really believe these people were dying, going to die and go to hell, where's our concern? Where's our broken heart? I can remember when many a Sunday morning the altar would be full during the invitation, people praying for lost loved ones. That rarely happens anymore. I can remember sometimes, not preacher-led, but church member-led, coming to me saying, "Preacher, I'm concerned about the lost people in our community. Can we get together and have a prayer meeting?" And see, it wasn't something that the preacher led, and okay, yeah, I got to support the preacher. Don't want him to feel bad. I'll show up. Don't want to go, but I guess I'll have to. No, it was the church folks that said, "We need to get together and pray for the lost people." How many people are looking for ways and place to witness? Whether it's knocking on somebody's door, or talking across the backyard fence, talking to somebody at the grocery store, Walmart, or at the ballpark, or wherever. If we really believe people are lost without Jesus, where's our concern? And the next one's an ouch. I can remember when my kids were getting old enough to be saved. I prayed for my kids. I wanted my kids exposed to the gospel. I couldn't imagine doing anything with my kids but trying to get them to know Jesus. And these days it seems like people have all these kind of places to take their kids and do things with them. Whether they get to church or not, it don't matter. Somehow or another, by osmosis, they'll accept Jesus, maybe. Folks, what if our kids don't accept Jesus because we don't make their accepting Jesus a priority? Do we really believe that our kids are going to die and go to hell? Now, I know that I'm just going to speculate. I don't know. The Bible says God will wipe away all tears in heaven. Sometimes I wonder. You remember in Matthew where it talks about separating the sheep from the goats? The goats going into the place of torment and the sheep going to the place of blessing. I can't imagine standing over here as a sheep watching my kids over here with the goats going to hell without shedding some tears that the Lord would have to wipe away when I got to heaven. Now, folks, if we really believed, and not only that, I would want my kids to be in church as often as possible so that they could grow and mature as believers so that their life would be so much better than if they had no biblical knowledge, no biblical training. Now, we say we believe the Bible, that we really, really believe the Bible. But do we really believe that people without Jesus are lost, and do we believe it enough to do something about it? It's guaranteed the lost people aren't going to witness to one another. The world is not going to witness to one another. I had somebody say something this week at the conference. Says, you know, the media is the one that taught the devil to lie. That'll hit you on the way home. You know, they're not going to get it out of the media. How concerned are we about the people that don't know Jesus? How concerned are we? And, you know, there's some things after our kids get a certain age, our grandkids get a certain age, there's nothing much we can do about it but keep praying for them. But if we really believe the Bible, that there's only two categories of people, saved and lost, surely we'd be concerned about those who don't know Jesus. I remember years ago, North Carolina Baptist Convention did a survey and asked one old deacon up in the mountains, said, do you believe that people without Jesus are lost and go to hell? And he thought of, scratched his head, thought about it a minute, said, well, that's what my preacher believes. He wasn't so sure of himself. And I know the popular thing today in our culture is that there are many roads to God. But if Jesus knew what God, the will of God was, there isn't any but one road. There's not but one road, and that's Jesus. How concerned are we about that? Now, if you turn back over to Revelation chapter 3, we'll get into this same thing. Revelation chapter 3, we'll begin reading at verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and thou anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now, let's be honest. Do we really believe that Almighty God is disgusted, disappointed, ashamed of lukewarm Christians? That's what he says. He says, I want to spew you out of my mouth. How many on fire Christians do you know? Really on fire Christians? How many really on fire Christians do you know? And yet Jesus says, when we're lukewarm, he is not happy with us. And all of us have to consider to what degree we are. You know, you go to the doctor, they're going to take your temperature. Back when I had, Pam and I had COVID, the doctor says, you take your temperature twice a day and text it to me so I can know how you're doing. And if your temperature goes up, it can be a sign of certain things. If it goes down, it can be a sign of certain things. How is our spiritual temperature? Well, what are some signs of lukewarmness? Verse 17 says, but because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. You know, that's pride that says, I don't really need you, Lord. I got it under control. I can handle this, God. And that results in a lack of prayer, a lack of seeking God's will and God's word. Haphazard attendance is a sign of lukewarmness, not because you got to work or because you're sick or taking care of sick folks, but because you just find other things to do on the Lord's day. Sporadic giving. How many Christians don't mind robbing God? Now, the book of Malachi says we rob God when we don't bring our tithes and offerings. Now, I didn't make that up. God said that through one of his prophets. How many Christians think, it don't matter. Good old God understands. I need a new boat. Yeah. I've already mentioned the lack of hunger for the lost, to seeing them come to know Jesus. Sign of lukewarmness is being as interested in things of the world as in things of God. What's really on our hearts, minds? The latest video game? Some TV programs? The latest in music? Or the things of God? Now, I know you can't think of, you know, there's times of recreation, there's times of relaxation. The content of our life, is it godly or not godly? The people that we hang around with, what's their conversation level? Dear friends in Tulsa, they're originally from South Carolina, and they're a hoot, but they love Jesus with all their heart. And somehow or another, Pam and I just bonded with them. And every time we were out there, when it was me and Pam, or now it's just me, we got to go to IHOP after the evening service. And I know IHOP's a 24-hour thing, but literally they almost have to kick us out about 2 o'clock in the morning. We finally leave because Ricky has to go to work the next day, but he retires, I think it's the 10th of May, somewhere along there, so we'll just stay all night next time. But we don't get into any deep theological discussion, you know, but we talk about the Lord, we talk about the Bible, we talk about the situation in the church. They're a part of the church that where the conference was, but they're also helping two other churches get started. And so they talk about situations in those churches and how they could help. And the whole conversation's about spiritual things. And it's always that way with them. There's a level of spiritual commitment in their lives. And they've got a two-story house that they're always working on. I've never been to their, we've stayed at their house 2 or 3 times. And they're always, you know, the last time we stayed there, one bathroom didn't work because he tore it out and was rebuilding it. At one time, but they used that house for ministry. At one time, they had the guy wasn't a Hell's Angel, but he might as well have been, was standing in their garage. The guy had gotten saved and was living for Jesus and needed a place to stay, so he was living in their garage. They introduced me this time to a young girl, said, she's staying with us right now. Their house is just a place of ministry. They always have somebody in their house that they're mentoring, that they're trying to help grow in the Lord, help work through some difficult problems. When I was there, 3 years ago, they were helping a lady that was gotten herself into some really financial messes, and they were trying to teach her Christian financial principles. You know, their whole heart is things of God. But backslidden folks get their whole hearts other things. They love, you know, and there's nothing wrong with talking a little politics now and then and a lot of other things, but sometimes our only concern are other things. And lukewarmness shows up. You know, how many people have attitudes and actions that don't please the Lord and it doesn't bother them? Unforgiveness. People have been holding on to unforgiveness for years and years and years. And there's something to just really bless my heart. Friday, I guess it was, I got an email from a couple that are in ministry. And they said, we had a certain other couple over at our house for a time of fellowship and a time of prayer. And I thought, wow. 10 years ago, that other couple had stabbed them in the back, had done them dirty. But the second couple forgave, worked for reconciliation. And now they could get together after those years and spend time together talking about things of the Lord, talking about ministry, and praying together. Unforgiveness is a sign of lukewarmness, pettiness. Several times this week we talk about somebody sitting in my seat. He said, oh, that doesn't happen. Yeah, it does happen. I've had church folks say, hey, you in my seat, get out. And I want to reach over and pop them upside of the head, you know. But you know, pettiness that means it's really sinful. Prejudices. Whether you prejudice against the blacks, the whites, the rich, the poor, the Jews, the Muslims, prejudice is wrong. It's contrary to the will of God. We need to go back to that little song that the kids sing, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. There's nobody that the Lord doesn't want to save. Pride, that haughty spirit that says, I refuse to bow my knee. I refuse to bow my knee before God or anybody else. Lukewarmness. What I wrote about in the newsletter this week, a group that's willing to help in a situation, and a group that's not willing to help, and there are people that aren't willing to help anybody. And I toned the article down to make it totally, hopefully nobody knows who I was talking about. But the folks in that group, that class, Sunday school class, made it possible for the lady to quit her job, and they said, we'll back her salary for a year. We'll back her salary for a year so that she can stay home and minister to those kids with medical difficulties. And the class leaders say, you know, sometimes we have to come up with, you know, people just hand the class leaders some money every week. I said sometimes at the end of the week when they see what they've got, those class leaders have to come up with a little extra, and sometimes they don't. Now that's on fire for Jesus. The whole point is, are we really on fire for Jesus? Jesus, you know, if we really believe the Bible, when Jesus said, I wish you were either hot or cold, and if it causes you lukewarm, I don't want anything to do with you. If I really believe that, then I'm going to be taking my spiritual temperature on a regular basis, saying, Lord, am I hot? Am I cold? Am I lukewarm? And if I'm lukewarm, then I'm cold, I'm going to want to do something about it. If I really care and if I really believe this. Sometimes we wonder, why don't I have fellowship with the Lord? Why don't I have the closeness with the Lord? Why don't I have the joy of the Lord in me? It's because we've grown lukewarm, and the Lord just backed up and says, okay, if you don't want much to do with me, if you can't love me, we know how it is in relationships. If a husband or a wife backs off and the spouse feels like, well, you know, they don't really love me like they used to. There's a disruption of fellowship. If you have a friend, maybe you've been your friend since third grade, but you sense that they've backed off and they don't love you like they once did. They don't care for you like they once did. That's a disruption of fellowship. And sometimes we wonder, well, you know, why don't I feel the presence of the Lord like I used to? Is it because we've allowed ourselves to cool off spiritually? And Jesus said, well, you know, if you don't want anything to do with me, I have to back off. Now, it's not that Jesus quits loving us. It's not that he quits caring about us. It's not that he quits calling us to repentance. It's not that he quits calling us back to himself. It's not that he doesn't give us opportunities. I mean, you know, you think if Judas had not killed himself, but had repented and come to Jesus and said, man, I messed up big time, Judas might have been restored. You know, Peter was restored. And James and John, who, you know, were hotheads, can we call down fire from heaven on that village over there? They were also prideful. Got mama to go to Jesus and say, can you put my boys on your right hand, on your left hand, you know, on they'd be the big shots in the when you come into your kingdom. But they were restored. So it's not that Jesus doesn't want anything to do with us. It's that when we back off, we make it hard for Jesus to do things in us, through us, and with us. Now, we need to do some serious soul searching about where we are spiritually, individually, and as a church. Are we really believe what God said, that the only way to heaven is Jesus, and that folks that don't know Jesus are going to hell? And do we really believe that God is pleased when we're lukewarm? If the Bible is true, we need to be constantly taking our temperature and making sure that we're on fire for the Lord. Really on fire for the Lord. How long has it been since you got on your knees? Or if you're like me, have a trouble getting on your knees and you can get back up. Just sat there somewhere in a chair and poured out your heart about lost people. Specific lost people. How long is it since you've prayed as Jesus told us to pray, Lord, send laborers into the field? You may have no lost people in your family or in your friendships that live 5,000 miles away, 3,000 miles away, 300 miles away. You can't run over there and witness to them every day, but you can pray, Lord, send somebody. Maybe a coworker, maybe a cashier at a store, a neighbor. Send somebody, Lord, to talk to them about Jesus. Have somebody give them a tract or a pamphlet or some way or other, Lord. Lord, help them to turn on the TV or the radio and there'll be a gospel song that they will hear that will touch their heart. Lord, some way, somehow, send that laborer to bring that person to Jesus. Lord, I'm concerned about them. You know, I got saved when I was about 9. At that time, my dad would have been 25 or 26 years old. He got saved at 69. So how many years did I pray for my dad? Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. How many times I cried out, God save my daddy. Finally, before he stepped over into eternity, it happened. But Ed Louder prayed for his daddy for a lot of years. Because I knew if my daddy didn't get saved, I knew where he was going. I believe the Bible. Do you? Do we really believe the Word of God? Would you bow your heads, close your eyes for a moment? If there's a decision that you need to make to get saved, rededicate your life, come to the altar and pray, would you do so? If you need to repent of lukewarmness, if you need to repent of not being overly concerned about the lost, be honest. Just go ahead and say, Lord, I blew it. I've been blowing it. I'm sorry. I repent. Lord, give me a new heart. Lord, set me on fire. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Make my life a witness of thy holy power. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. Is that your prayer? Is that your prayer? Father, I pray for us as individuals. I pray for Barber's Grove as a church. Lord, may we not be lackadaisical, apathetic, lukewarm. Lord, set us on fire for Jesus. Lord, help us to see the lost that are going to hell every minute all around us with broken hearts. And Lord, may we be laborers in the harvest field that Stanley County, North Carolina, and the world. Lord, we want you to be pleased with us. Set our souls on fire. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.